Chapter 12, Tanks a Lot. Floating. Just floating on a relaxing spring afternoon. My belly is full. The water is just right, and the peepers are singing their spring song. But what's that shadow ahead? I take a giant leap, and a sneaky chopper misses me, barely. So much for relaxing day. But that's life in the swamp. Luckily, life is more relaxing at my teacher's house this weekend. My first night there is pleasant enough. I get a juicy cricket treat. Thanks, Mr. Brisbane. But there's nothing else I'd call special. What was Mrs. Brisbane talking about? The next morning, the Brisbanes both go out to their car and leave me alone. I'm trying to imagine all the fun my friends are having at Richie's birthday party. So I decide to take my mind off what I'm missing. I launch into my weekend workout, jumping jacks, push-ups, and giant leaps, followed by energetic splashing. I want to see if I can hit the lid again, and once I succeed. After a while, the Brisbanes returned with armloads of bags and smiles on their faces. Ugh, we've got another treat for you, Mr. Brisbane announces. Thanks to Pete-O-Rama. The Pete-O-Rama must be quite a place. It's where my tasty tidbits come from. Even Humphrey came from there, and I am a teensy bit jealous. Mr. Brisbane wasn't kidding about a treat for me. He spends most of the day fixing up my tank. When he's finished, the place looks pretty spiffy. Now the dinky dish of water has been replaced, and half of my tank is a lovely swimming pool. I'll be able to dive and swim. Bing, bang, boing. I love to make a splash. And he's added some more leafy green plants. It's not exactly like the swamp, but it feels more like home. Mr. Brisbane tops off this perfect day by feeding me another tasty cricket. While Mrs. Brisbane is out of the room, of course. You don't have to mention this to my wife, he tells me. Believe me, I won't. That night, when the house is quiet, I make up a new version of the Hoppy Frog song. I sing a happy frog song. I sing a song, my song out loud. I have a brand new home now. I'm feeling pretty proud. It's fun to dive and swim around. I love my new plants too. And to my friends, the Brisbanes, I really do thank you. And when I'm feeling a little tired and ready to doze off, I think that Mr. and Mrs. Brisbane wouldn't go to so much trouble if they were really planning to send me to Piney Woods. Would they? I'm pretty excited about returning to room 29 on Monday. I hope that my neighbor Humphrey will notice the changes in my tank. He doesn't at first, and neither do any of the other big tads. They're too busy chattering away about the party like a crowd of cackling crows. From what I hear, somehow Humphrey ended up being pulled out of the magician's hat. I wish I could ask the little guy how that happened. I notice other things too, like the fact that Heidi and Gail are best friends again. From the way they acted, it's hard to believe they ever called each other names or stuck their tongues out at each other. Thanks for sticking up for me, Heidi said. I couldn't let that bully treat you that way, Callie answers. After all, you are my friend. I don't know who that bully was. Could it have been George? I guess Granny Greenleaf was right about the problems having a way with working themselves out. Heidi and Gail are truly gold friends. The fact that they've made up is more magical than pulling a hamster out of a hat. Then my neighbor notices the changes in my tank and lets out a series of excited squeals. The big Teds notice too. Whoa! Augie the frog, that's some snazzy swimming pool you got there, AJ says as he leans down to inspect my tank. The other students gather around. Now he could dive and swim. Saya says softly, he could be in the Olympics. Or the Froggy Olympics, Kirk adds. And his tank seems a lot more swampy with all those new plants, Miranda says. I think he needs some furniture, Richie suggests. Like a bed and a couch. Gal giggles. And a TV. How about a fireplace, AJ hollers. The bed and the TV sound nice. The fireplace, no thank you. Later when the students leave room 21 for home, Humphrey doesn't waste any time in flinging open the door to his cage and scampering over to take a sneak peek at my tank. Watch this, I stand on my tippy toes, my rock, and then leap into the swimming area with a giant splashy dive. It's a dive any frog would be proud of. But is Humphrey impressed? No way. The little guy panics and rushes back to his cage. Oops! I forgot that hamster shouldn't get wet. I'll try not to splash him in the future. I don't want to upset him. When Otto comes in to clean, he has two surprises for me. One is a treat, a mealworm. Thanks, Otto. He also notices my new and improved tank right away and thinks it's awesome. A frog like you deserves a swimming pool, he says. Now you can dive and leap as much as you want. Boing, boing, I agree. The second surprise is that he tells me he has applied to college and was accepted. That's one piece of the paper. That's what the piece of paper was all about, and he turned it in. Humphrey here found out at the party, but I wanted you to know too, Og, he said. Way to go, I'll tell him, bouncing up and down on my rock. It's a happy celebration. Something like a hatch day. I feel very content for most of the week. I am almost glad there are no more surprises. I can just think, float, doze, and be. But on Thursday afternoon, suddenly Heidi shouts, look out the window, look! I hop up and down on my rock so I can get a good view. Curtains of fluffy white flakes are falling from the sky, and the ground is already getting white as well. It's snowing! Some of the students shout. I've seen a few white puffs falling from the sky before, but nothing like this. When it's cold enough for the white stuff, it's time for me to take a long, long nap. Boy, I've never seen it snow so hard in my whole life, Richie said. Neither have I. I've never appreciated the quiet beauty of snow piling up. In the past, I've slept right through it. My four poor friends back in the swamp are probably sound asleep right now and missing this sight. There is something to be said for being a classroom pet. Regular meals, no enemies, and now snow? Mrs. Brisbane helps her students get bundled up at the end of the day. See you later, she tells us when she hurries us out the door. That's when she always says, at least during the week. The little guy next door just sits in his cage, staring out at the curtains of snow filling up the empty parking lot. He looks and looks, but Aldo's car never arrives. Aldo never misses an evening of work. Maybe he's hibernating. Outside, the whole world is white. Who knew this could happen? There's nothing out there except snow and more snow. Very, very cold snow. All that cold snow makes me feel very, very sleepy. It snows a lot more all night, and the next day, no one shows up for class. Not even Mrs. Brisbane. My little neighbors must have realized that nobody is coming to school because he flings open the door of his cage and stares out the window for a long time. I sleep quite a bit. But when the bell rings for recess and lunch, I wake up with no big tads making noise. I quickly drop back to sleep. In the afternoon, I sleep more deeply, daydreaming of the time that Jumpin' Jack and I played a game of leapfrog, hopping over each other, and Jack landed nose to nose with a hungry-looking raccoon. I've never seen a frog leap backwards so far and so fast. Scritch, scritch, scritch. No animal in the swamp goes scritch. I'm awake now, and it's the sound of Humphrey writing in his notebook. It's not a bad sound. I nodded off again. It's as chilly as a water moccasin's heart. I'm aware of some sounds. The last bell of the day, Humphrey spinning on his wheel, but mostly I doze. Sometime during the night, a loud machine goes back and forth. A whirling orange light streams through the window. The only other sound I hear all night is Humphrey squeaking right outside my tank. I wake up just enough to say goodnight. Humphrey gives up and goes back to his cage. Room 29 is quieter than a water snake silently slithering through the dark water.